You're listening to the 8 for Comics podcast, sponsored by StashMyComics.com and our local comic book shop in Roanoke, Virginia, BNDComics.com. And now, here's your hosts, Matt Barrett and Neil Rickman.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the 8 for Comics podcast, episode 7. I'm your host, Matt Barrett, and with me is...
Neil Rickman.
And we're here to do what we do most every week when it comes out on time. And let's talk about comics. Every week, Neil and I trade a couple of books. We go home and read them, and then we come back here, talk about them on the show, and see what each other thinks.
That's all we do, by the way.
We don't have jobs.
We kind of like meet in the middle of town and trade books and then scamper off.
In trench coats.
That's it. Let's get out of here.
Well, this week we're going to be reviewing I Loaned Neil Concrete, which was a one-shot by Dark Horse Comics. And it's kind of, describe sort of the layout of this. Three books in one?
It's three one-shots that comprise this one-shot. And they were all originally printed in Dark Horse Presents 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. And then we're going to be reviewing Punisher Warzone number 1. That's what Neil gave to me, and it should be an interesting discussion because we have a very different Wolverine all of a sudden, but we'll get back into that later.
Rootin' tootin' good time.
And then for the special feature, we've kind of been living under a rock, but we found out about some more DC cancellations. I had caught wind of Blue Beetle being canceled, but did not realize that also Grifter and Legion Lost had been canceled. So more DC cancellations kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen to the original 52. We're really starting to narrow it down.
I know what's happening to it. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that later. But right now, we're going to get into the reviews, so let's go right into it.
Comic Swap.
All right, Concrete. It's Paul Chadwick. He does everything on this book, from what I understand. He does the art. He does the writing. I'm looking for colors. I think he pretty much does that, too. I was looking at it earlier. I was trying to figure out, does he do everything? It seems like he does. I mean, he has an editor and an assistant editor. I mean, people have to check his spelling, I guess.
Now, Concrete is a big dude made out of concrete, and he might remind some of you of The Thing. That was the only thing I could really describe it as. The cover is kind of funny, though. Does he not look like he's, like, drunk or something?
Yeah, it's a picture of him climbing up, I think.
Oh, he's climbing. It looks like he's flat on his face.
Yeah, it looks like he's flat on his face.
And there's two people that look disappointed, like, oh, Concrete's drunk again.
I have to really say, there's a very personability to his art style.
Oh, yeah.
His art style almost lets you get personal with the characters just the way it is. You can get a good feel for how a character is by looking at it.
It's very distinct. I haven't really encountered a lot of art like this.
I was blown away. And here's the thing. When I was working at the shop, B&D, we had these signs up, I remember, that was like employees pick. And it actually had Concrete on them. Dark Horse had sent out these promos. Hmm. And I had always wondered about that character because of that prop in our store. And I was very happy, thanks to you, to finally get to know the character a little bit. And wow, did you know how many Eisners this book had racked up? I lost count myself looking at the page on it, but it was all like through 88 and 89. Hmm. This guy first appeared in 1986, and I didn't even realize Dark Horse was around then.
Wow.
That's very, I mean, I thought Dark Horse was one of those things that kind of slid in the 90s even. Mm-hmm. And that taught me a lesson. I mean, said, hey, buddy, Dark Horse has been around.
Right.
So, to kick it off, this was a great three stories. The first story really, really grabbed me in a way. It's all Concrete walking around his town at night, the town he lives in. And it's all his inner commentary. It reminds me very much of why I love the character The Thing in Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. Because it's all him saying, you know, he loves being out at night because he doesn't have to deal with the people, you know, staring at him. you know, or being scared. And, you know, it was all a lot of inner monologue that I thought really struck home to, you know, really defined the character right up front. And as he's walking along, I mean, the locals know him. They know of him, of course, this right. large concrete man that walks around in their city. And he ends up spotting a guy, I guess, breaking into a house and stealing a laptop. But it's really funny because the whole plot kind of revolves at one point around this couple he flags down to use the phone from. And not to spoil too much about it, but it's almost Twin Peakish in a way. I don't know if anybody out there knows of Twin Peaks. It's kind of a precursor to the X-Files, and it was like really bad soap opera at some points. But it's kind of like he lives in a town like that, and it's just kind of like how he interacts with that town. There just seems like a lot of weird stuff that happens to concrete wherever he goes, not just in that town, I guess. But it was wild because I guess the guy that writes it he has a lot to say about the world. He's an environmentalist, mm-hmm. and you kind of see that in his works. He does the second story, not that it's about being environmental. The second story is about a man found stranded at the bottom of a cave, and they mention some animism. They mention a little bit about old-time religion at that point. And then the third story was a kind of a commentary on tasers and how it affected the police force, because what I thought was really funny is that Concrete gets deputized because he's like, well, you don't have to tase him. I can just kind of hug him and you can cuff him. So they developed this weird system a la the Snuggler
yeah.
where he would go in and hug him and then the police would cuff him. But eventually he got jaded doing that. Like, he got really seeing all these folks who were angry and mean at society. And so he developed some kind of toolkit where the officers could wear this suit and snuggle people so they could be cuffed instead of tasered.
Man.
But
all they need is a good hug.
It's one of the most interesting... I mean, okay, the origin of this guy is he was abducted by aliens and his brain was transplanted to a concrete body. And they touch on that. There seems to be an underlying... It seems like they're almost working towards something. I haven't read any of the other stuff. Have you?
No.
It seems like they're working towards a big underlying plot. It reminds me kind of The Goon in that way, that there's all these weird, crazy happenstances going on, and then there's this underlying plot that sneaks up on you throughout mm-hmm. the series. And I love that type of thing. I absolutely love it, because it doesn't really pigeonhole itself at any point, but there is something you can hold on to each time. There is something that grabs you that you're interested in coming back for. So it's weird.
Yeah, there's definitely a stark contrast, and this is probably very intentional on the creator's part, but the fact that he is this hardened piece of concrete, walking piece of concrete, but yet inside he's this big softy. He's really friendly to everybody, and he just kind of wanders around with this little smile on his face. Now, the end of the first story is kind of creepy because he has a relationship with a normal, you know, flesh and blood woman.
Well, the thing had a relationship with a blind woman.
Right.
No, this woman's I'm not like blind. Clay, baby. I was molded.
This woman is far from blind, but they seem to have some sort of offspring, and it's this little concrete baby that isn't quite alive or awake yet, but he's still trying to... I guess they're feeding it oxygen, and he kind of holds it.
Now, did I read correctly that it was born off of Concrete's back, though? Like, it wasn't like the woman.
Know.
It wasn't like the woman birthed this baby.
Oh, he birthed it.
He birthed it, I believe. They mentioned it up front.
Quite accurately described.
Because I'm wondering how much was printed before this, because you get the idea, even though these were the first ones printed by Dark Horse, that there was maybe some independent stuff he'd done on his own. And I need to check that out. But he's out walking around with his dog Tripod. I guess it's a three-legged dog. And that's horrible. But amazing. But he's all like, his inner monologue's talking about he just had like a baby birthed off his back.
This happens, you know? I've seen it a million times.
Yeah, it's as much on his mind these days as the Rocky infant which recently butted off his back. It lies so far in a coma. So, that's an odd story, and I really, really want to check the rest of these out. Like, I'd love to get compilations on this. I'll tell folks out there, if you're interested in any of this oddness you're hearing of, it came out in July of this year, the reprint here. So it shouldn't be too hard to find this one. It's called Concrete, Three Uneasy Pieces.
Yep. And there are, you know,
$2.99, sorry.
Nice.
Yeah.
There are trades out. You know, there's Concrete Volume 1, which is Concrete 1 through 5 and some other miscellaneous stories. Then there's Volume 2, which is 6 through 10. If just look it up on Wikipedia, there's a ton of trades out there. I don't know how readily available they are, but
I'm sure B&D can find it for you.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Or your local comic book shop.
Shameless.
B&D can find anything, though.
Well, that's true.
Maybe you who are listening, maybe your comic book store is as good as B&D. Probably not, but
I'm not going to go there.
We're kind of biased.
I want to go there, but I'm going to say
there's a lot of great comic book stores out there, but if your comic book store is lacking in its ability to function, go check out B&D Comics, because they've been doing it for 30 years.
Proof is in the cabin.
They got to be 30 doing years. Something right.
Yes.
Okay, well, what do you give this tale art-wise? And
8.5 all across the board. 8.5. And the only reason it doesn't get any higher than that for me is because I feel like there's stuff I'm missing.
Yeah.
Even in this one shot. I read up on some of the stuff they were touting on it back in the day at Dark Horse. It was supposed to be a jump on point. Mm-hmm. And I found it to be a really good one. It is. But I would say it's lacking in a little bit of a background as how did we get here?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's weird that he's just with a lady, and there's a lot you wonder about, mm-hmm. which is a good way gets you into the series and makes you want to read more about it. But I need a little bit more up front.
Yeah. Well, I concur with that score. You really can't. I mean, the art is extremely solid and the story is solid. And like you said, you only just feel like you're missing out a little bit. You'll buy this and you'll be like, okay, I want more, but it doesn't really show you where there is going to be more or how to get it.
And obviously, how can you argue with the guy got Eisner for best continuing series in 88 and 89 back-to-back. He at one point got for best artist writer. I mean, he won some Eisners mm-hmm. back when, honestly, I'm going to say Eisners were a little bit more prestigious yep. in my book. So,
all right. Check it out, Dark Horse Comics, Concrete, Three Easy Pieces. And next, we'll go into...
That's Uneasy Pieces.
Oh, they're uneasy. I'm sorry. That's another
shaken
book.
Shaken or stirred. Yeah.
The other book is about the easy pieces. Okay, well, we'll go into the next review, which is Punisher War Journal number 1. And this is a limited series by Mr. Rucka, the now departed Greg Rucka.
Well, he's not dead, but I mean, he's kind of dead to the mainstream.
Yeah. I didn't mean he died. I love Greg Rucka's stuff. I'm really upset that he's gone from Marvel, but like we mentioned before, I can kind of understand his position, but thankfully, on his way out, he's given us a really awesome book, and Punisher Warzone is that book. It's not just Punisher, so if you have any interest in the Avengers, you're going to want to pick this up, because not only are they on the cover, but they're prominently displayed in this $2.99 Marvel book.
And
there's a rare thing.
I was going to say, if you have no interest in the Punisher, what are you, a commie? A non-American? Because to me, he is Captain America. Captain America is somebody else entirely. Like, Captain America is just a goody-goody. Punisher is America. He's dirty. He'll shoot you. Just to make things right, he'll shoot you. You know? If that's not America, I don't know what is.
So the first...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Going off on an America tangent.
Well, no, I'm not sure I believe that quite. I just like saying things like that. So please don't send me any hate. I'm an equal opportunist monkey wrench. Here we go.
We just have to rag on Captain America at least once per episode. Go ahead.
Just real quick. I'm a fan of Captain America. I am. I honestly love the character. I'm just at a... We're struggling in our relationship right now. We're working on some things. Me and Cap, we need to talk about exactly who needs to be pointing at who for this... this X-Men versus Avenger for Professor X getting splatted.
They're just going to take some time apart. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Captain.
I just need some time, Cap. Just need some time.
Well, we're going to spoil the heck out of this book. Just so you know up front, the first page gives you a nice little background. In case you hadn't been reading Punisher, this kind of leads into this. And I wasn't reading it. I know you were. I know a little bit about what was going on. Basically, Punisher and this lady who had some sort of revenge on her mind.
Basically, the whole premise of this book is in the regular Punisher series, which, by the way, I am very impressed with Rucka, because I didn't think anybody could come in and shut all the... well, they didn't shut them all up, but all the people that said, you know, Garth Ennis is the only one that can do Punisher, we're not going to have anything else. I think Rucka really made a strong point that, yes, there can be another person that does Punisher and does it quite well.
Right.
I'm not going to say it's better. I'm not even going to tell people it's on equal ground, because that's for them to decide. But I will say it's comparable. I mean, to some point. I mean, I say it's better or worse, whatever. But okay, that being said, they basically had been going after this group that had killed all of the new Lady Punisher, if you will's wedding party. They right. they blown it, like, kill everybody at her wedding, including her soon to be husband. They never got wed, and so they had been trying to kill these people responsible for this throughout that entire run.
And the group is called the Exchange.
The Exchange, yeah. Okay. And by the end of it, spoiler alert coming up here on the Punisher. So go forward a few minutes, or, you know, just fine when we leap off here. But by the end of it, they're after the leaders of this group in a building, and they basically get set up, and it's made to look like they killed a bunch of cops. Hence, this whole series is, and they used a lot of the Avengers toys to do this. That was the big deal with the Avengers taking notice,
right?
Especially Spider-Man, one of his web slinging wrist things, thingy bobs, sword, but you know, one of his web slingers, I guess you call them.
Mm-hmm.
Castle had used it to gain access to the building, and Spider-Man found out about it, so that right. was used for killing. He was very upset.
So we start off with this. I love when they do these front newspaper pages. It's like the front of the Daily Bugle, and they're still hunting for Punisher. The lady he was working with has been caught, so she's taking the heat, I guess. Oh, fair to mention, obviously, Greg Rucka, we've mentioned, art by Carmine D. Gian. Gosh.
You cannot pronounce that. I put, like, Carmine or something.
Carmine Di Giandomenzio. That's as close as I'm going to get. Matt Hollingsworth on the colors. I really like this art. We'll talk
how
about the story.
How dare you upstage me with that name? I could pronounce that the same in my life.
I probably did it wrong.
No, that's good.
So Spider-Man's got the newspaper, and he's, like you said, he's angry about Frank Steele and his web stuff. And we get a really awesome interaction here with Spider-Man and Punisher. It's drawn really well, so if you... I don't know if you noticed that in this panel. If you look closely, Frank's walking into a parking garage, because this is pretty much what happens in 90% of action films anyways. Somebody's in a parking garage, and there's an awesome fight. But you see Frank's reflection in a car, a van mirror, and you can just make out the little legs of Spider-Man there behind him. And obviously Frank, being Frank, he knows what's going on, so he quickly grabs his gun and is looking for who's behind him. It's Spider-Man. And Spider-Man does something pretty uncharacteristic here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's
at least
pretty...
for a good guy.
Well, no, he's... Quote. No, I get it. And I get it for Spidey, especially. His great power was abused. If you think about it, his whole stick was just like, okay, great power. A part of his great power was just used for killing.
Yeah.
Part of his great power is his scientific mind. He created those slingers. And guess what? Frank used them for killing. Mm-hmm. He is very upset with this. I mean, I totally understand. Okay, it is a little bit unheroic to pummel the guy with no powers, but this is a killer.
No, but I like this. I like the fact that Spider-Man has this, not really necessarily a flaw, but he's angry, and he knows Frank can take it, so he's going to pummel him.
Well, I think he's definitely holding back, because Spider-Man full force would annihilate him with just a few punches, but he pummels him a bit, and I'm thinking he's holding back, which you should never do with the Punisher.
Nope. So he traps Punisher's hand with the gun, has a web on it. And my favorite line here is when Spider-Man's telling him, "It's over, Frank. Your murderous run is over. I'm take you out." And Frank says, "I'm done when I'm dead, kid."
Yes.
A very action film kind of line right there. Very Clint Eastwood calling Spider-Man kid.
Well, yeah.
He basically is.
I mean, Frank was in Vietnam while, like, you know.
True.
Peter Parker was playing with his lab set or something. I don't know.
Okay, so this fight continues. Punisher gets a couple licks in, but Spider-Man's not too impressed. And then Frank gets out of this using a grenade. So, and does he steal another web shooter? Is that what I'm buying here?
Yeah.
Frank is now just a thief.
Frank, he's a glutton for punishment because he's apparently wanting this heat.
Stole another one. So Spider-Man calls a meeting for the Avengers, and Tony Stark's all decked out, and he's just been to a Bruce Springsteen concert in Moscow.
I don't know. That outfit's one of the best parts of the book, and that's not saying a lot, really.
Tony Stark is pimping. He's got a white suit.
He's Miami Vice.
Yeah. And Black Widow's like, he's not playing in Moscow. And he's like, not for you, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I'm Tony Stark, and Bruce Springsteen play whenever I'm
Tony Stark. I get drunk, walk off a boat. Anyway.
So they're wondering why they've all been gathered together. Spider-Man's like, we got to take out the Punisher. And they're like, ha ha ha. All right, see you later, Spider-Man.
Yeah, they were like, whatever. They don't really care, apparently.
Everybody's like, let's go. And Thor says, I have business to attend to elsewhere.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man's not playing around, and he has a good point. You know, Punisher is a mass murderer, and they just sit and sort of let him get away with it. And the only person that steps in for him is his buddy Captain America. And I'm wondering if they've always had this sort of relationship, but or if this is... Remember we talked about Avenging Spider-Man, how they sort of had that connection? Is this...
No, this is random? A little bit of... I don't know if you read when... It was, and this could be, I don't know if he heard about it through Bucky, before Bucky went his way again or whatever, but remember when everybody, there was a big deal of who's going to be the next Captain America, when Captain America died?
Right.
Well, the Punisher tried his hand at it. I'm imagining Steve heard about that. And okay. I think there might have been a comic with that being dealt with.
Gotcha.
And he was not happy that the guy was going around killing people, star-spangled, you know. So, I don't think he's ever... You know, he is a soldier from the World Wars, while Frank was in a very, very other war.
Right.
And they're different soldiers altogether. One kills to do what he does because, I mean, honestly, he doesn't have super soldier serum running through his veins.
Right.
And I think, if you look at Steve Rogers, he wanted to be in the Army and couldn't for the longest time until he had that serum, you know.
Right.
And... He's always looked at it as very different from Frank, if you think about it. Frank looks at it as, you know, okay, this, you know, I'm a soldier, I kill, this is what I do. When you've got super soldier serum, it's easier to save lives and not have to kill if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to not kill someone and save the day.
Right.
When you're just a regular Joe with guns.
Right.
Some people could argue, well, look at what Green Arrow does in DC, or look at Daredevil. Okay, Daredevil's a freak of nature. He has blind powers. he's his senses have been altered because he's blind, and he can, you know, these people, if you look at it, the Punisher's really, he never had a fortune.
No.
He was never rich. He's working with what he was given by the Army, pretty much, and the Special Forces. I mean, he was one hell of a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to. All right, I'm not gonna start any fights.
You know what? Start any fights.
I'm just gonna say that I'm kind of more for Punisher's type of soldiering, and that's weird coming from me because I don't believe in killing people so much. I the really bad guys that are out there to do these awful things,
mm-hmm.
I agree with it to an extent.
Okay.
Especially when you're an average Joe.
Well, you're not the only one because. We failed to mention that Wolverine is within this group of people. And you got to know Wolverine's thinking, I'm going to side with the Punisher on this, which we all kind of saw coming. What I like, though, before this happens, before we get into Wolverine, it looks like next issue Black Widow is going to be going trying to find Punisher. Which
I laughed so hard when they were like, we'll just send Black Widow because, you know, Spider-Man didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, of course, Black Widow could. That is foolish.
They'll find out. And
I'm okay. I'm not trying to knock Black Widow, but okay, right. Let's pair them up.
Yeah.
Let's, Spider-Man or Black Widow? Who's more capable here?
Yeah, this was a boneheaded Captain America move. He's like, oh, you're too invested in this. You can't come. So let's just send Black Widow by herself. That's a great idea. Punisher won't be able to take her.
I'm going to enjoy watching that issue. I'm just going to put it out there. That seems mean and vicious, but I've never been a big fan of the old Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson played the part very well and made me warm up to the character a little bit.
Right.
But I've never been that big into it otherwise. And it's not because I'm like, ooh, Scarlett Johansson. It's just,
right.
I thought she did a good job in the Avengers, and it made me warm up to the character a little bit. But in the comics, usually I'm like, what is this Joker doing? You know? So if she was written by Joss Whedon, maybe I'd give her more of a shot, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, and then the next thing that they're discussing here is, okay, well, assuming we find him and assuming we catch him, we can't just put him in prison, and Tony Stark's like, God, I'll figure something else out. Just go find him and I'll work something up, because Tony Stark figures everything out. So they're done and they all break up. Wolverine's not happy, and Captain America's like, you got a problem with this? And Wolverine says something to the effect of, you know, we may be different on this, but I believe that some people deserve to die. And of course Wolverine is going to believe this, because we all know Wolverine's stance on this type of thing, Uncanny X-Force, you know, is one small example of the many people that Wolverine has killed because they deserve to die, quote-unquote. So then we got this great scene where Frank is in his little hideout, and Wolverine's like, friendly coming in, warning Frank that he's in there before he blows his head off.
This is the Wolverine I liked. I mean, not, and I just warmed up to Wolverine here recently just to have him get all sanctimonious with this Avengers versus X-Men thing. And I warmed up to him because of Uncanny X-Force, I think. And I warmed up to him so much I put Wolverine and the X-Men on my pull list, because I'm interested to see what he's been doing with Xavier School and whatnot.
Right.
And I like that he did this. He and Frank have always had a almost brotherly relationship, because they will beat the heck out of one another, but they will have each other's back in a minute.
Right.
So I like that a lot, and this is the Wolverine I want to see more of.
Yeah, Wolverine basically comes in and is like, you know, did you kill those cops? Frank's like, no, and he's like, that's what I thought. But look, regardless of what happened, you got the Avengers on your tail now. You might want to disappear, you know, stay away from this. And so he basically just helps a brother out, you know.
Not only that,
warns the Punisher.
But he's like, Punisher's like, you know, they're going to know you're here, right? So basically Wolverine has Punisher blow him up as if he came after him and got blew up in the process.
Right.
What was it, phosphorus or something he used?
Yeah, see, I didn't take that from that, but that's a good point. I thought he was just burning, like, the evidence of the building, but you're right. He probably made it look like he...
He didn't tip him off. He was just beat up. He right. actually wanted to be the one to ram him. I love the guy that's dressed up in the back of this.
Yeah, in the back of the book, there's this guy that looks exactly like the Punisher. He even got the shirt perfect and the bandages on the eye. Pretty crazy.
Is that Black Punisher behind him?
Yes, it is. And that did happen in the Punisher book, so maybe he's going for accuracy here.
Well, that's we had just talked about that. It weirded us out that he had at one point pulled a face off or something and was black for a minute.
Yep.
Not that I'm against that at all, but it's weird.
It was an odd turn of events.
One person changes his pigment without being a mutant, I guess.
One can look at that event.
Mystique is fine, I guess.
But. Yeah. That event and perhaps the Frankencastle stuff, which I actually really want to read, but those were two turns within the Punisher book that are just like, huh?
You know, I almost really want to. I never picked up Frankencastle, but I kind of want to.
I do too. But man, I kind of want to finish this book, and I have a feeling, we've talked about this before, that perhaps this will lead into Thunderbolts. I don't know, because Tony Stark said he was going to figure out something to do with them, and lo and behold, who's on the front of the Thunderbolts book?
It's
about the Punisher.
It's why I signed up for it.
Yeah.
The fact that the Red Hulk is going to, you know, General Thunderbolt Ross now has the Punisher as a soldier. Think about it.
They're taking all the, well, I don't know, does Elektra have some sort of sordid past that would put her on a team of miscreants or not?
I really couldn't
I can't
care
say.
Less
But we know
her.
Deadpool's going to be on it. We know Punisher. We know Red Hulk. And we know Elektra. And who else? I can't, I can see the
Deadpool?
Cover in my mind. I said Deadpool.
You said Deadpool.
We'll look that up at the break here.
It's hurting my mind.
Oh, by the way, spoiler alert for those of you who have not been reading Deadpool.
It's Venom. Isn't Venom on that?
Perhaps.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think you're right. Deadpool, I bought the last issue just on a whim last time I was at B&D. And he has got his healing power back, so...
Thank goodness.
That was easy. You know what it was? It was... it didn't last forever. It was...
So is he back to being ugly?
Well, at the end of the book, the guy this evil version of Deadpool basically just blew him up, like blew his head off or whatever. But before that, it was like, no, this was never a permanent thing. It's worn off. Let's find out, you know.
So. Seems mean, but I was tired of pretty non-healing factor Wade really fast.
Apparently, during the run, he got several like third-degree burns and got hurt, like got a pinky chopped off. So he was already sort of banged up. He's back to being the Deadpool we all know and love.
All right.
Yeah, so there's that. All right. Well, I give this book art-wise, I really liked the art by this guy's name I can't pronounce. It's, I don't know, I'd give it like easily 8.5. Story's probprobably more like a 9.5 for me. So
wow, you liked really it that much. I'm at 7.5 solid for both.
Okay.
Not that I didn't love it. I feel like it was just getting warmed up.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to get to those numbers as the series goes, as long as Rucka doesn't like phone it in like at some point because he's mad.
Well, see, this book was a complete surprise to me because when I saw that they were doing Punisher Warzone, I was like, just could be, not that this is bad, but I was like, oh, more Punisher. But the fact that the Avengers are so heavily invested in this, and I just got through watching the Avengers movie again, I guess it kind of has me sort of excited. Cool. And I like this Wolverine so much better than the one we got in the... what was the book we were so angry about?
AVX.
Yeah, Avengers 6.
Yeah.
So, Uncanny Avengers and such.
It's out of control.
So pick it up, people. I think you will really enjoy it. All right, on to the special feature.
Oh, before... I have to mention the colors, because okay. I think it sets the arts off. And it's Matt Hollingsworth again. My favorite colors in the industry. Hmm. There.
Yep.
Said.
Done very
that's
well.
That's it.
There's nothing to complain about.
I had to just jump out there with that, because I love that guy. His colors.
The colors, yeah, the colorists don't get enough credit. So we should do our best to give them credit where credit is due. Because, I mean, gosh. Yeah,
and I'm a colorblind guy, and it's just popping to me. Maybe, are they good to you, Matt? So everybody's like, what's he talking about? It's all pastel.
Well, anytime you have a Punisher book, you're usually dealing with a lot of darks. And the fact that he's able to bring so much light into this, but without making Punisher look bright.
Right.
You know what I kind of mean? That's a hard thing to
pull off.
He played
with the lighting very well. Yeah.
He did. Yeah. So. Cool. All right. On to the special feature.
1, 2, 3. SmashMyComics.com is the leading free online interactive comic book database. Catalog your comics and track prices, character, and creator appearances. Follow the daily blog reviews, editorials, and a weekly podcast. Connect with other fans through member reviews and discussion forums. Keep abreast of site updates on Twitter at StashMyComics and find us on Facebook. StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy.
Nailed it.
Okay, we're back for the special feature. Before we get started, we had talked about the Thunderbolts, and you were right. Venom was the last member that's on the cover, at least.
Right, and there's a lot of people shooting bullets in that book, but we'll get to that some other day.
We're definitely going to review that book. The cover, every once in a while... Well, I shouldn't say every once in a while. Often, the cover of a book will sell me. And this one sold me right away when I saw Red Hulk, Elektra, Venom, Punisher, Deadpool, all this red and black just oozing from the page. Should be pretty cool. Plus, I liked the Thunderbolts before. So.
Yeah, Frank does look like the goon on that cover.
He does.
That's cool.
So, we were going to talk about these canceled books and... unfortunately, I just sort of sprung this on you today, Neil, before the show started. I was like, hey, did you know that one of your favorite books, Blue Beetle, is going to be canceled?
And he
was shut up.
Matt was laughing because I was having to hold in a lot of
anger.
I think my cheek twisted up. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Turned it a little bit green.
I can't believe it made a decision for me that's not good for DC. Well, I mean, like, it's going to hurt them what I'm doing, but in my book, it's not good for them. I mean, I was collecting all their Green Lantern stuff pretty much, because I was like, there's probably going to be some crossovers with Blue Beetle. They did it a little bit, and it might come back to it. And now I'm kind of like, well, that's not going to happen. And that was one of the big things keep me on it. I mean, not that they're bad titles, but I kind of need to trim since Marvel Now is taking up a lot. And they're about to get axed.
Yeah, they're... So it's Blue Beetle, Grifter, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, and Legion Lost all will be done with issues number 17. None of these I read a little bit of Grifter, and I read a little bit of Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. Grifter got really derailed when Rob Liefeld came aboard, so I don't think there's any surprise there. The only surprise there is that that book lasted as long as it did. Frankenstein, Agent of Shade is a little puzzling. Wasn't Lemire was on that originally, and then Matt Kint took over?
I don't remember the exact art talent on those books. I was distant on Frankenstein. I just knew some shakeups were going on with it.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting book, but I really think it would be a better fit in, say, the Vertigo universe or something.
Right.
They've been having a lot of problems shoehorning those type of characters in the
DC.
I'm
just flabbergasted that Blue Beetle's getting cut, because it's got a loyal cult following, and it's a good... It's not like it's got it for no reason. It's a solid title.
No, I've often thought... I mean, that's... To me, that's their Spider-Man book. If they really work it and promote this, that could be their Spider-Man. Young kid with these crazy powers. He has a really cool look. I mean, anytime you show a kid Blue Beetle... they love it, you know?
They do.
He has a really cool look and a cool power set, and he's young, and so the younger people can identify with him. I don't know why DC does this. I think they could really do a lot to promote a character like this, and for whatever reason they don't, and then the book gets canceled.
Oh, man, I just hate that.
They should have had him cross over somewhere else. What sort of crossovers has he had?
They had some Green Lantern crossovers that I know of in the New 52. I don't remember anything else right off the top of my head.
Okay.
But, I mean, I like him on his own. I like him. Oh, he's done some crossovers with Justice League International, which, honestly, they should have had him on that book from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
agreed.
That's another book that they let fall. And that one's quality was bad, unfortunately, I thought. I didn't think it was very strong. And But Blue Beetle, no way. Blue Beetle... I felt like has been stronger than some of the titles I have on my pull list for DC right now. And I've got some of their stronger works, got their Bat books, you know, a lot of that going on. And I have their Green Lantern titles coming through, and Jonah Hex, you know, with the All-Star Western. But now I don't know. I'm losing a little bit of faith in their judgment on this one.
Yeah. And they're actually apparently going to this, canceling these books is going to, I guess, bring them under the number 52, or just under. I mean, I'm sure they'll announce something else to fill out that number, but we've sure seen a lot of cancellations and a lot of new books within just a year. Not that that isn't sort of typical for the industry these days, but it seems like every 3 months now we're seeing three or four titles canceled. And Legion Lost was one that I bought the first issue of because I just thought, well, this looks kind of interesting and different. I'm going to read something different. And the first issue just totally... The art was fine, but the story was just kind of like, huh? What did I just read? I don't care anymore. So that one's not really surprising. Do you know anybody who's reading Legion Lost? Have you ever heard anybody talk about...
Not really. Now, they're stable right now. I'm trying to think of what's going on, because I want to point at books and go, that should be canceled and not Blue Beetle.
I'm sure there's a number. I mean, the Legion book, I don't know anybody that's reading the regular one. I don't hear people talk a lot about Savage Hawkman. I don't hear people talk about Deathstroke anymore. There's quite a number of titles that we could see get the axe here. But it makes you wonder, you know, what's their criteria? Is it strictly a sales number thing, or do they have something else going on?
It very well could be, and I could see that. I know... Not everybody cares about Blue Beetle, you know. That's just the fact. It's a sad fact, but he's not one of the Green Lantern, one of the, you know, Bat folks. He's not one of the super folks. You know, he's definitely one of the odd men out, and he's suffering because of it, unfortunately. But there's that team has always put out a good, solid book. They really care about the work they're doing on that book. It reminds me of Spider-Girl in Marvel. There's a huge following a cult following, not a huge following, but a very strong cult following for that title, because the team that, that works on that book, they want it to succeed.
Right.
And, you know, it shows in their work. It's just not a lot of people care. It's not Spider-Man. So.
Well, I'm looking at this list here. I wonder a little bit about Batwing. I wonder about iVampire. I wonder about Dial H. These are books that I don't hear a lot about.
G.I. Combat and Dial H and Earth 2 and Stormwatch. All this, all the anything with the Wildstorm that they're not putting their anything behind. And, you know, then we've got World of Warcraft and its comic that woohoo. So, you know, did we really have to make the cut there? Was it costing you that much in paper to keep a solid title like that out? Couldn't you cut somewhere else?
Yeah, and not only that, like I said, a character that I think they need to keep out there that could catch on if they would actually keep him out there long enough.
Yeah, it's
sad.
Yeah, and we're not even, it's not even like we can go catch him somewhere else. It's, you know, we could have maybe had him in Justice League International, but that's already, you know, gotten slated. So
I fear for Suicide Squad a little bit. I think numbers wise it's been doing okay, but I just read the 13th issue on that and was really so disappointed that I'm like, I'm ready to hop off. And not only was it somewhat of a train wreck, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. He's looking at the cover for Grifter 13, and Grifter has an odd pose.
Oh, who's responsible for this odd pose?
Take a guess.
It really looks like he did that on purpose. Like he got Rob Liefeld done did this piece of art I'm looking at, and yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that he went out of his way to make, I don't know, I don't with him, I don't know, but I think he went out of his way to make this look atrocious because everyone that's talked smack to him, maybe it had to be. I mean, that's, I mean, he's usually not, you know, we joke on him,
yeah.
But this is, seems like even further.
It seems like a step backwards.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, but
even for him.
Remember, yeah. I told you when I was reading, when I picked up Suicide Squad 13, it was Dwayne Swierczynski who has been writing Birds of Prey, and so I picked up Suicide Squad 13, and I was like, oh, there's a new writer on board, and I got through like the entire issue, and then at the end, I was like, yeah, oh, this really wasn't good, and I was like, oh. It wasn't even him. So editorial team might want to take a look a little bit better at the cover of the comic and realize that you had the wrong writer on the cover.
I feel like it's banana time at DC sloppy. Somehow.
Yeah, that's super sloppy. I'm sorry. And Suicide Squad has been a really good book, but this particular issue, you know, with that sort of cover snafu, it just kind of seemed a little uncaring to me. Like, oh, we don't care about this book. And then the art was seemed a little rushed, and the story was just kind of like, it also seemed rushed. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to spend this money. There's some really cool stuff with Marvel Now coming out. Some cool, even $2.99 books that I would, my money might be better spent on.
In the apocalypse, the meek shall inherit the earth. Will the indies inherit the comic book world? Is that what's happening?
Perhaps. I mean, I have
Marvel now is trying to flex, because honestly it's got me very excited for a lot of their titles, but if that rises and then falls,
yeah,
I think a lot of people are going to turn to the indies, that, you know, if they haven't already. So
I think, well, DC needs to do a little bit of a shake up. I'm a little excited about some of the new the Man of Steel book is exciting to me, and some, yeah, of the newer Justice League titles coming out. I'm excited, intrigued me a little bit.
Excited about Snyder and Lee working on Man of Steel. It's the first, yeah, Superman I will have on my list since I was a kid.
Yeah. And I tried to pick up the new Superman, to be honest with you, and Action Comics, and I was okay with them, but I'm the type of guy, like, I really want to like Superman, and I think I do to a certain degree, but I just haven't found a niche within the comic book universe that I really liked yet from him. So hopefully, I know Snyder can do it. If you get Snyder and Lee on it, I'm going to like it, I think.
I'm just, of course, I'm worried about the weak link in that team, Lee, flake out and go draw like some Gen 13 for a minute. All right, I'm in a cloudy state, Blue Beetle's ending. Just got a cloud over me right now. that's just sad. That's terrible. It's terrible news.
Well, it makes you wonder, you know, what else is on the chopping block? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the DC is so, like, you know, bent on canceling stuff. These writers and artists have got to be going, gosh, is our book going to be next? I mean, certain books you know are safe. You know, pretty much the Bat titles are safe. The Green Lantern titles seem safe. Though I don't know. I mean, how's Red Lantern doing?
See, that's the thing. Like, how long is that book
going to go?
We've got enough Lantern books. Why couldn't you cut them, like, to some degree?
Yeah. Well, I guess until the arc is over.
Red Lantern especially, I think.
I don't know how far you can go, yeah, with just a book about a different lantern.
You can. You can do it, but I don't care. Well, Blue Beetle.
I mean, you can do anything. All the time.
If I've learned anything in my years of comic reading, you can make anything interesting if you're good.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, I've gotten some crazy stuff that, you know, people are like, why are you reading that? Like Swamp Thing. I thought that'd be good. Alan Moore tore it up. Back in the day, you know, Alan Moore's like, Swamp Thing's awesome.
Yeah.
So you can make anything interesting if you've got the imagination to do it. But I want them to use that for Blue Beetle, not Red Lanterns and, you know, Plaid Lanterns. And, you know, I love them. I do. I really like Green Lantern stuff. I'm not trying to hate on it. But when they've got like four or five titles coming out and then I can't even get one with a character, you know, that deserves a little spy, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
I'm going to let them know what I think.
We shall carry on. And speaking of carrying on, Neil and I are going to a small comic book show tomorrow. So, hey, let's do this. Next episode, our special feature will be a detailed report. Not really necessarily detailed. Well, maybe chat about some of the stuff we saw at our tiny little show here and maybe some of the stuff we picked up. What do you think?
Salem, VA, will do.
Okay. We'll do that. And I don't know what books we're going to review yet. We'll just make that a surprise.
How about, you know, Happy Scrappy Little Pup? Thanks, DC. How about we pick out the titles?
Do you want to do a Blue Beetle book?
How about we go pick out titles that we, you know, buy for each other, I guess, okay. And swap the titles that should be canned and give them the ratings they deserve. I'm bitter. I don't know what's going to happen yet.
Okay, so you want me to pick up
the
latest Legion Lost for
you? No, that's not the whole principle of this show. I'm getting slanderous now.
Well, it's understandable. Something, I mean,
I'm going to go back to my hobbit hole.
Something's being canceled that you like. You're allowed to be upset. You're a fan, and that's acceptable.
Yeah, but I try to be the optimistic, non-hate spouting fan. Sometimes I fail.
Well, yeah. I like to be positive, too. And that's not to say to insult DC at all and say that the stuff they're doing is terrible.
I'm dropping everything.
No, yeah. As a whole, I think this New 52 has really been good, and a lot of it I've liked, but I gotta say, right now, the Marvel Now stuff, maybe it's the newness of it, maybe it's the fact that it's advertised a little better, but it's got me more excited, so I'm gonna go play in that playground for a while. I'll still keep a couple DC titles. I'm really excited about Flash right now, because I like I almost said Kong Gorilla. I like Gorilla Grodd so much, so I'm going to stay there for a while. The new Justice League, the new Superman has me interested, but as a whole, Marvel's winning for me right now. Just my opinion.
I'm paranoid now that DC's taken... I'm going to say it's horrible now. Like, I still have titles I really love in DC, like you said, but I'm paranoid because I was on such a high with the New 52 for that time with the titles I'd picked out. And then they've kind of lost, you know, this and that. I will say Batman currently. I mean, it's the last issue 13 of Batman was the best yet for me in New 52. So that's the paradox there. But
yeah,
I'm worried that Marvel's going to come out really strong like 52, and of course, you know, lose that steam. I'm really hoping for a rebirth of Bendis here. Yeah. I was such a huge Bendis fan, and honestly, his writing has suffered for whatever reason. I think he's been spread thin or whatever. I'm really hoping he gets his footing, especially on the all-new X-Men title.
Yeah.
Him and, it's Immonen, Eomin. I thought it was Bagley. Eomin,
yeah.
But it's Eomin, who also worked on, after Bagley left, that's who filled in on Ultimate Spider-Man. And they both, from what I read on the Marvel chat that they had about the title, really talked about how their heart was in this project, and I hope it shows.
Yeah. Well, I showed you the 4-page preview. Well, you didn't read it, but you kind of caught a glimpse of it, and it does. It shows. I mean, that 4-page preview sucked me into that book like no other in a while. So
awesome.
Should be good. And hey, forgot to plug our sponsors. Of course, StashMyComics.com. Go there. Love the site. Join the forums. Catalog
Powered by
your books.
Geek. Powered by Geek.
Powered by Geek Energy, yes.
It's awesome. I love this the tag on that.
It is a good tagline. And they have another podcast there, the Stash My Comics podcast. Those guys are great friends of ours. We've got two great podcasts, I believe, in one website. And then support your local comic book shop. Ours, we talked about earlier, is B&D Comics. Go to bandcomics.com, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.